Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches. Napa!
Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide. Napa!
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network presents NASCAR Live.
Wheel to wheel, tightly close together through the trioval. White flag is in the air. Next flag ends the race. Tyler Reddick surges ahead by a bumper.
Final time at a turn one, and it's anybody's ball game. Back comes McDowell as they go three wide around the lap machine on the bottom. McDowell by half a car length. Here they come for the final time off turn two.
As of now, there is no third lane. Everybody in double wide formation. All eyes on Tyler Reddick and Michael McDowell. Reddick with the fender out in front. McDowell comes back to the bottom. Keselowski shoves. McDowell back to the lead for the final time in three.
McDowell surges out in front. Keselowski in second. Nose to tail from third on back. The bottom part of the racetrack. Michael McDowell will lead him off of turn four in the final time.
Final time off of turn number four. Here comes Brad to the bottom. Michael McDowell throws the block. And Brad gets into him. Michael McDowell into the fence. They're crashing further back. Checkered flag is in the air. Tyler Reddick gets there first.
NASCAR Live is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. From the MRN studios in Concord, North Carolina, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of NASCAR Live here on the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley and the entire MRN crew here with you as we have departed a very thrilling weekend at Talladega Super Speedway. Wow, what an ending to the Geico 500. We will give you a NASCAR Live backtracks on the show tonight, and we'll take you through the events of the weekend in Alabama. Also coming up on this week's show, we will visit with both Truex brothers, Martin Jr. and Ryan. They will stop by as they get set to head for the official home track of the Truex family, Dover Motor Speedway, this weekend. We'll also give you a final sneak listen into the final episode of our podcast series, NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History, and we'll also provide an update on the NASCAR Xfinity Series, Dash for Cash. But first, Kyle Ricci is here with a check of the latest headlines in NASCAR. Kyle?
Mike, Erik Jones will not compete in this weekend's NASCAR Cup Series race at Dover Motor Speedway as he suffered a compression fracture in his lower vertebrae last weekend in Talladega. The incident happened on lap 157 during the Geico 500, and there has been no timeline set for Jones' return behind the wheel. He will be in attendance to call the race with his crew as Legacy Motor Club replacement driver Corey Heim will substitute for Jones in his absence. Tricon Garage has added a former Craftsman Truck Series champion to its driver lineup. The organization announced that 2018 Series champion Brett Moffitt will compete in select races this season. Moffitt will pilot the number one Toyota Tundra starting at Kansas on May 4th. The other events the driver will compete in have yet to be announced. Tricon isn't the only team that added a new face over the weekend. Connor Mosack, who last competed for Nice Motorsports at Vegas, will join Spire Motorsports for 5 Craftsman Truck Series events this season. Mosack will drive the number 7 Chevrolet Silverado at both Kansas dates, Charlotte, Pocono, and Homestead. And after finishing 4th in his NASCAR Xfinity Series debut at Martinsville Speedway, Carson Quapel will pilot the number 88 once again for Junior Motorsports this weekend at the Monster Mile. Mike.
Thank you, Kyle. Coming up, a NASCAR Live backtracks from Sunday's action at Talladega.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy and four tires. Cars, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Sunday afternoon's Geico 500 at Talladega Super Speedway represented the third Super Speedway race of the NASCAR Cup Series season. Let's relive all the twists and turns with another installment of a NASCAR Live Backtracks.
As the field makes their way up off of turn number four, we're set to get this one underway.
All right, boys, let's do it today. Got a really fast race car. Got to make it count.
Yes, sir. Keep it up there.
All right, man. To the green right here. Control the controllables. Stick the plan. Make it a good day here.
The Geico 500 green flag goes in the air. Michael McDowell and Austin Cindric on the front row coming through the gearbox as they race to turn one.
Side by side into the 33-degree banking of turn number one. Nobody able to rally some drafting help quite yet. Now the second row troops begin to close in on the back bumper. They are still elbow to elbow for the lead off turn two.
Here comes five, six cars more. One of them is at Denny Hamlin, who may have just collected a car on entrance into pit road. It is indeed Denny Hamlin. He has spun his car around in front of Kim Kuhn.
And he got it righted, but it's going to be a longer stop for Denny because they'll have to change tires after that issue.
There will be another driver returning to pit road, though, busted for speeding too fast on pit road, Joey Logano.
So he's going to have to make a pass-through penalty, and that will hurt him and his opportunity to maintain speed in the draft. Kyle Larson, let's remind you, is still a lap down after having to make a pass-through penalty after the green flag flew. Zane Smith, also a lap down after missing his pit box and having to come back in.
Side by side for the race lead to wrap up stage number one. On the inside, Elliott. On the outside, Austin Cindric. They race back to the line side by side, give the advantage to Cindric over Chase Elliott, and Austin Cindric has won stage number one. Chase Elliott was right there. The difference, 0.04 of a second. Now we see the caution flag fly. It's Austin Cindric, Chase Elliott, William Byron, Ryan Blaney, and Kyle Busch. That was your top five across the line. Harrison Burton was sixth. Christopher Bell was seventh. Brad Keselowski, eighth. Tyler Reddick, ninth. Alex Bowman across the line to complete the top 10.
Green flag goes in the air. It's Kyle Busch on the outside of the front row. He's got a trunk full of Chase Elliott. Downstairs, a couple of Team Penske Ford Mustang dark horses.
Down low, the inside line with those Ford machines. But up top, it is Kyle Busch. He's got a nose advantage up in that outside lane. Wheel to wheel as they come off turn two. Busch on the outside of Ryan Blaney.
Halfway down the back straightaway to end this stage. Larson with a fender out in front. Here comes another shove down low. Now it's Logano out by a fender.
Logano getting that help from his teammate there, and Austin Cindric behind him, top side. It is a Chevrolet and a Toyota going at it, helping each other out. Up top, it's Kyle Larson side by side with Logano up four.
They're going to crowd each other down the short straightaway, headed for the tri-oval. Top 10 will get points. They fan out four wide mid-pack. At the front of the field, stage two will be complete, and Joey Logano will win the stage. Austin Cindric will finish the stage second. Kyle Larson will be third. Austin Dillon fourth. And Ross Chastain will finish fifth.
And here we go. It's out. It's in the air. Ross Chastain on the inside. Joey Logano on the outside. Right behind Ross, that's Kyle Busch. And right behind Joey is, again, his teammate.
It is side by side into turn number one. Kyle Busch buried up under the rear spoiler of the Ross Chastain machine. The same can be said for the Ford teammates in the upper lane. Side by side for the lead.
Rebel off the end of the back straightaway. Christopher Bell into the outside wall. Also collected, Justin Haley. Ryan Blaney, I believe, snaked his way through with no contact. Couple of other cars spinning to the bottom of the racetrack, but the one that's worse for wear, Christopher Bell. The front end torn to pieces on that Toyota Camry as it sits to the inside of turn three.
Puts us under caution for the third time in today's Geico 500. First accident we've seen, and it was a significant one. one for Christopher Bell.
Trouble coming off of turn number three. It's that Toyota Brigade got together. Denny Hamlin hard into the wall. Also into the wall. We have got, looks like it is Bubba Wallace. Eric Jones also in there too. Jones down to the bottom part of the racetrack in the grass, but heavy contact. Not sure what broke loose in there, but also damage to John Hunter Nemechek. Most of the Toyotas wiped out coming off three.
And they were running single file by themselves after the pit stop in a completely single file draft, and they get wadded up in a big shot for Eric Jones. The hood flies back on top of the race car, and that will put us under the caution flag now for the fourth time. 27 laps to go in the Geico 500. Field works into the tri-oval and head back to the Geico restart zone. Fans rise to their feet, cheer on their favorite driver. The restart is a good one. Outside rows those two Toyotas who stayed on the racetrack. Martin Truex Jr. pushing Tyler Reddick to the lead.
Reddick in the outside lane will take the lead by a car length. Truex now will go side by side with McDowell. That's the battle for the second position. Two by two all the way back through the pack. Nobody busting out three wide.
White flag is in the air. Next flag ends the race. Tyler Reddick surges ahead by a bumper.
Final time at a turn one, and it's anybody's ball game. Back comes McDowell as they go three wide around the lap machine on the bottom. McDowell by half a car length. Here they come for the final time off turn two.
As of now, there is no third lane. Everybody in double wide formation. All eyes on Tyler Reddick and Michael McDowell. Reddick with the fender out in front. McDowell comes back to the bottom. Keselowski shoves McDowell back to the lead for the final time in three.
McDowell surges out in front. Keselowski in second. Nose to tail from third on back. The bottom part of the racetrack. Michael McDowell will lead him off of turn four in the final time.
Final time off of turn number four. Here comes Brad to the bottom. Michael McDowell throws the block and Brad gets into him. Michael McDowell into the fence. They're crashing further back. Checkered flag is in the air. Tyler Reddick gets there first. And we are getting the official word. It is indeed Tyler Reddick. He has won the Geico 500.
Yes! Yes! Oh my God! Great work, guys! Woo! Talladega!
Man, I just appreciate all their help there at the end. What'd you think, Bo?
I don't know, but it was so cool.
That is Bo. It was so cool. Congratulations. Celebrate this one big.
Oh, we will. We will.
Here we go. That's Tyler Reddick and Bo down here in Victory Lane celebrating the win here at Talladega Super Speedway.
And we congratulate Tyler Reddick on winning the Geico 500. What a memorable moment it was at Talladega over the weekend for 2311 Racing, especially having the boss, Michael Jordan, on hand. Coming up, the eldest of the Truex brothers, Martin Jr., will join us.
From outdoor care to home and auto repair, do it with Craftsman. Find the tools, equipment, and storage you need at your local Lowe's, Ace Hardware, or Craftsman.com.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Through 10 races, 2024 has been good to Martin Truex Jr. MTJ currently sits second in the point standings behind Kyle Larson. And while he hasn't won a race this season, he has finished in the top 10 in half of the races he started. I had a chance to visit with Martin over the weekend in Talladega.
How would you describe the season for the 19 car so far, Gibbs?
I mean, I feel like it's been really good. I think, you know, we definitely have had a few things go against us. You know, we've missed some execution and some late race pit stops and things like that. But, you know, as far as the team and the race cars and the speed on the racetrack, it's been awesome. So, you know, I feel like we've had, aside from one race, we've had top 3 to 5 cars every race and you know, been leading laps and been up front a lot. So, yeah, that's been good. You know, getting good stage points and finishes, and we're up there in the points. We're just missing that win. So hopefully we can knock that out. out soon.
Well, the execution thing has been a big thing, and I know that it frustrates the fans. I know it's got to frustrate you. How do you guys go about getting your arms around that, and are you involved in that execution discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I am. It's, you know, from my end, it's just, you know, we know what we have to do. Let's get it done. So, yeah, everybody's working really hard. We've got a new rear tire changer coming on the car this weekend, so hopefully that's a step in the right direction. And, yeah, I mean, it's a constant evolution. You know, the process is always ongoing. You're always looking at every detail and every part of the team, you know, to try to get better. So, yeah, hopefully we can keep capitalizing on our fast race cars and you know, like I said, get in victory lane soon. I feel like we're really close. We just need to clean a few things up.
How do you manage that? Because I know you want to be there. You've wanted to be there for a long time, and you've been close. And this deals with frustration as far as missing that opportunity because you've left some on the table. How do you go about processing that as a driver?
It's just part of this sport. You know, honestly, it's a very frustrating sport. There's, you know, I tell people that you have to have a million things go your way to win a race, and one of those things in there somewhere goes wrong, you're probably not going to win. So these things are really tough to win. They get harder, I feel like, every year, it seems. And, you know, we've certainly missed out on our share of races we probably should have won. But, you know, that's just the part of the sport. You know, you have an awesome year. You win 6, 7, 8 races. You still lost a lot more than you won. And it's so challenging from the mindset of how do you approach each weekend, when how do you deal with disappointments? Because throughout the year, no matter how good you are, you're going to have a lot of those disappointments. And I've had a lot of practice dealing with those over the years, you know, unfortunately. But you get them out of the way, you get them out of the way in the car. And then, you know, honestly, Monday morning, you move on to the next one. And, you know, just try to fix the issues.
It's turning into be a Hendrick Gibbs breakaway this year. Obviously, Hendrick and Chevrolet staying with what they've had. You've got the new Camry. Obviously, it's responding well. Where would you say the sweet spot is right now for the Camry overall, but Joe Gibbs Racing? Like, where are you folks excelling? What type of tracks?
Yeah, I mean, I think across the board, it's been really good. And, I mean, it's just a well-rounded race car. The new short track package has been good for us. We weren't sure how it would be. We've done really well there. And then the intermediate stuff, I mean, has been really good as well. So I feel like it's just a well-rounded car. All the packages we raced throughout the year, it's been working good with, and we've just been consistently fast, so it's been awesome.
White flag is out for Truex. He crosses the line. One more trip around Dover to score a big, big win.
Off turn two, he comes for the final time. Home cooking is going to be a good thing for Martin Truex Jr. He takes it to turn three, looking for his first career Nextel Cup win.
Glad to come back and race on Monday. Martin Truex Jr. comes up off turn number four, and at the track he calls his home track, the Monster Mile, Martin Truex Jr. scores his first career Nextel Cup Series victory.
We are off to Dover this coming weekend, and it's your home track. This seriously is. Mayetta, New Jersey is, you know, Dover, Delaware, Mayetta, New Jersey are a whole lot closer together. Do you get tired of this home track thing because you're the only driver that everybody gives you like 15 of them?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it all played out, how I got assigned all these things, you know. But, yeah, for sure, Dover is the one closest to home. And if there wasn't a bay there, you had to drive around. You could get there real quick. So not far as a crow flies from where I grew up. And, yeah, I look forward to going there. It's such an awesome place. The Monster, it's a mean track, and it's been good to me.
What do you like about it?
Just, you have to attack. You know, it's such a fine, delicate line there between, you know, attacking the racetrack and respecting the racetrack. And, you know, you're always, I feel like, white knuckle. You're always nervous. You're always on edge. It's so fast, so much load in the banking. And these cars don't really care for it very much. So you just really feel like you're wrestling in a beast all day long. And it's a lot of fun to do that.
You have a lot of memories there. Obviously, yourself, Ryan, has run well there before. He's won there. Just as the Truex family is concerned, and even with your dad, you know, and see watching over everything that he's involved in, does Dover hold a special place for the whole family? Because it seems like that you guys have excelled there in one form or fashion.
Yeah, it's interesting how it's just been good for both Ryan and I in racing. And, you know, I don't know that there's a rhyme or reason to that. I don't know if it's just it fits our style and it just happens to be closest to home or what it is. But I don't know, something about when you get over there on the coast and you get that salt air, it makes me go a little faster.
Nothing like it. And also steam crabs and all that stuff, seafood. Coming up, we got some interesting races, got an interesting stretch of races before we get to the break in later in the summer in July. What do you feel coming up that really could be if the execution situation gets worked out, where do you feel that are prime targets that you can strike?
I mean, honestly, I feel great everywhere. I don't even look at the schedule and say here, here, and here. I obviously looking forward to Dover next weekend. I know Kansas is coming up. That's been a great place for us. I feel like we'll do really well there. But, I mean, across the board, I'm excited to go to the track every weekend.
Coming up, the Tour de Truex continues as Ryan will join us here on the show.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. 1 year ago, Ryan Truex went to Victory Lane for the first time in his NASCAR Xfinity Series career. He won at the Monster Mile. Later that weekend, older brother Martin Jr. would collect a win at the track, turning the weekend at Dover one to remember for the entire family. Ryan sat down with our Chris Wilner to look back on last year's achievement and what's ahead this weekend in the first state of Delaware.
All right, Ryan Truex, coming off a disappointing finish at Talladega, but let's talk about at least the early part of the race in the weekend. I mean, you qualified top 10, had a lot of speed in that Toyota for JGR, but just describe the racing up to that lap 65 incident, because I know a lot of the talk going in was kind of the fuel saving game, right? But how did you see the race play out until kind of all heck broke loose there on lap 65?
Yeah, I felt like we had a really good car. You know, like you said, we started sixth and pretty quickly it went to, you know, single file around the top. And I think we were like fourth in line or something at that point. And yeah, to your point, just saving fuel, taking care of them, trying to make it, you know, to the end of the stage. And, you know, we got to racing, the bottom line came into play. And man, I felt like my car was really good at leading, really good at pushing. I was able to hook up with, you know, my teammate Sheldon and almost got to the lead, couldn't quite get clear of the leader, and, you know, dropped back a little bit. I think we ended up finishing sixth, but, you know, my goal there was to kind of wait until three, four to go and then start to race a little bit just to see what I had, see what I needed, if I needed adjustments or not. And really I didn't. And, you know, we struggled a little bit at Daytona and Atlanta, just raw speed wise, you know, comparing to like the RCR cars who are obviously the class of the field. We were lacking a little bit and felt like we were playing defense more than offense. And honestly, JGR, you know, all the guys there, everybody at the shop, like just did a great job of bringing back what we needed to be competitive, to be aggressive. You know, Chandler led some laps. Me and Sheldon both ran up front. Taylor ran up front. Proportions of the race, we all had speed, we could all be aggressive, and we haven't had that, so I was really proud of that. And yeah, just got kind of caught up in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, that stage two restart, I lined up on the top, gave up a row, lined up top to be with my teammates and basically to prepare for the top lane fuel saving that we all knew was coming, because you can't make it on fuel in the final stage. You got to pit at some point. And the quicker you can get on pit road and get off pit road, the better off you are. So the less fuel you have to take, the better off your chances of being up front at the end are. So that was my viewpoint going into it. Looking back, I wish I would have chose the bottom, because the top is where the wreck happened and we just got caught up in it and didn't really feel like I got much of it, but it hit our right front tire just perfectly to, you know, break the upper control arm, and that was pretty much all it wrote.
Well, like you said, a lot of speed so far this year. I know you've taken part in four events in 2024. You've got a couple of top 10 finishes, including most recently at Texas. So as you evaluate kind of your start to 2024, are you pleased with kind of the way things are going, working with Tyler Allen, your crew chief, and everybody over there at JGR? And you're kind of looking forward now as we get ready to go to a racetrack I know you're pretty excited about.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And, you know, for Tyler to come in, and he's already won two races, he's worked with multiple drivers. Obviously, he knows how to get it done. So the pressure is on me, you know, jumping into the 20 car. And starting the year in the 19 with Seth, I felt like Daytona and Atlanta, we had a shot to win both those races. You know, we played it perfectly, and we put ourselves in position, which is really all you can ask for at a plate race. And going into Texas, you know, my first time working with Tyler, that whole 20 group, first time at Texas in 2 years, you know, first time at a non-drafting oval since May of last year at Darlington. So practice was mostly just me working on getting back up to speed, which, you know, took half of practice to figure that out, and then try to figure out my balance and what I needed to be fast, and, you know, learning how to communicate with Tyler. Every crew chief's different. Every driver's different. Everyone breaks it down differently. And it takes time to understand each other. And when I say the car's loose or tight, for him to know, you know, if I say it's a 1 out of 10 or a 5 out of 10, for him to understand what that means to me versus what it means to him. You know, it's all those little things that you just need time to figure out. So I'm glad we got a few races under our belt. Feel like we've, you know, kind of learned each other a little bit. And obviously, yeah, going to Dover as the defending winner, the pressure's definitely on. And like I said, this car has already been to victory lane, so we know they can get it done. It just comes down to, you know, the driver being able to show up and do it right.
And speaking of Dover, of course, this weekend, sort of your first career win a year ago. Has it felt like a year? It'll be literally almost 365 days to the exact date of that race win a year ago. What has kind of that memories of those days, you know, of that day felt like for you? And, you know, does that give you extra confidence as we go in this weekend?
It definitely gives me confidence. Yeah, I feel like it all happened so fast, like jumping out on the front stretch and doing the interview. I don't even remember what I said. I had, you know, over the years, I've had all these things I thought about that I would say or what I wanted to say. And I don't think I said anything that I've thought about or thought I would say. You know, just, it was just a very surreal moment. And then, you know, going home that night and seeing all my friends and celebrating with them. And, you know, it was just really special. And then to have Martin win, you know, on Monday was just, you know, icing on the cake. So overall, just for our family, was a really awesome weekend. And really the worst part about it is I went to Darlington the next week, you know, with confidence and had a really good car. It felt like we could win. And that was my last race of the year. So that was the toughest part, was building momentum to where, you know, after that race, I felt like I could go anywhere and win at any time. And that part of it was not as great because I basically had to sit on the couch after Darlington and wait until this year to race again. So hopefully we can go back, repeat it. And then, you know, I've still got a bunch of races with this 20 group, and we can hopefully, that'll kind of get our momentum going in the right direction, and we can, you know, click off a few wins.
Yeah, I would say good news is you don't have to worry about sitting at home on the couch should you go repeat at Dover this weekend. But that race last year, I mean, you guys dominated, 124 laps led, you swept the stages. I mean, what is it about Dover specifically for you as a driver that you're able to adapt to? Obviously, we know the history with you and your brother at that racetrack, but, you know, just Dover itself, it's one of the hardest racetracks we go to just physically and mentally, you know, ripping around there. So what is it for you that you kind of just adapted to so well?
Honestly, I really don't know. I think it's just comfort and confidence. Like I know, like I think I'm good there because I think I'm good there. You know, I just have confidence going in and just feel comfortable, you know, just going out and driving hard and being aggressive. And Dover is definitely a place where you have to be aggressive. You gotta, there's a lot of on throttle time. You drive it deep into the corner. You know, your car, to be good, your car is not very comfortable. Like it's not fun to drive as a, you know, from a car balance standpoint. But yeah, I can't really pinpoint it exactly. All my friends and family are there, and it's comfortable and it's easy. And, you know, like the weekend last year, we didn't practice or qualify. And that night before, we hung out in my buddy's motorhome and played cards and just, you know, hung out, had a good time, and just feel like there was no stress. Like, it was just an easy weekend. And, you know, we started 12th, and I think lap 30 we were leading, and it just felt, you know, it just felt easy, and it felt like how I think it's supposed to feel when you're, you know, at the top of your game and at a place you're comfortable with a, you know, top level team. You know, if I could figure out how to replicate that everywhere, I'd be in good shape, but still trying to figure that part out.
Thank you, Chris. Coming up, we'll preview the final episode of NASCAR Live Presents 2004, Chasing History.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
We welcome you back to NASCAR Live. So glad you're spending your Tuesday night here with us on the Motor Racing Network. Monday morning, we release the final installment of NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History. We've been on a 10-part journey throughout the 2004 NASCAR Nextel Cup Series season. And here's a clip from the final episode.
One of the most exciting championships about to be settled here at Homestead Miami Speedway this afternoon. Green flag goes in the air. Head off to turn number one. Kurt Busch immediately tries to get out there, make sure he can lead that first lap as he goes over to turn two.
That's the first order of business. Get that 5-point bonus for leading a lap. And so far, so good. He takes the lead. Brent Tipple looking to fall back in line. We got two cars around already in turn number one. Mike Bliss has spun his automobile down onto the infield grass. And also Hermie Sadler has become involved. Two cars tangling at the very tail end of the field on the opening lap.
Hermie Sadler's lap one crash almost proved to be disastrous for Jimmy Johnson, as he was just able to survive the wreck as Sadler turned sideways while Mike Bliss was spun around. The start of the Ford 400 foreshadowed what was ahead of all those in attendance on that afternoon. On lap 93, championship leader Kurt Busch was about to come to pit road. Busch radioed to his crew that he had a flat right front tire. As Busch came out of the access road off of turn four that leads onto the pit lane, he lost that tire.
Caution is on the speedway, and it is a problem for Kurt Busch, the Nextel Cup points leader starting the race today. Let's back go over to turn two and get an update there.
Barney, a near disaster and still a potential disaster for Kurt Busch. He got about midway between turns one and two, and the car just simply would not turn. He did an amazing job to keep the car off the wall. Ran literally 2 inches from the concrete all the way around through turns one and two. Kept it off the wall, immediately headed for pit road.
And Danielle, he had a problem even when he came on pit road.
Yeah, that disaster almost became a big-time disaster as he was trying to come down pit road. The casing on that right front came off, bounced into the back on the speedway. Actually, when Dale Earnhardt Jr. was coming by, so Dale Earnhardt Jr. had to do some evasive. The tire actually came off, bounced back onto the track in front of Dale Earnhardt Jr. He had to do a little bit of evasive driving as well, but Kurt Busch has now made a pit stop, I believe, in front of Winston.
Well, they changed right side tires. Only the entire wheel came off. The middle section of the wheel was broken loose, so the hub was still attached to the, or the tire was still attached to the wheel, but it completely came loose, so they brought it down, just changed right side tires, and sent him back onto the racetrack.
As the wheel came off, Busch almost hit the yellow barrels at the entrance of pit road, which could have ended in a much different result. Instead, the caution came out as the wheel rolled down the entire front stretch of pit road. Kurt Busch takes us inside that moment.
I get this weird vibration, and we hadn't even pitted yet. And I'm like, wait a minute, we don't have a loose wheel because we haven't pitted yet. It's been on there since the beginning of the race. What the heck is this? And then those are the emotions of, Kurt, you're convincing yourself you're not ready for this moment. And so you start talking to yourself. Literally, I guarantee every driver would say they have conversations with themselves in the car about handling or pit strategy. And I'm like, you're not ready for this moment. I'm like, no, I am. And so I was like, I got to pit. Like, this vibration keeps getting worse. Let's take our lumps now in the beginning of the race and work our way back to the lead lap and then figure it out from there. And that wheel broke, went out on the racetrack right as I was turning onto pit road. Somehow I missed the barrels. I missed the end of the barrels, and it was because somebody took my left foot off of the brake pedal. Because, like, when you're in snow and you got the brakes on, you're sliding straight, you lift off the brakes and try to let the front rotate. I was so nervous and I didn't know what I did, but somehow I missed the end of the pit lane and those barrels. Tire goes out on the track to create the yellow, and then we pit, and we're so nervous, we don't even know what's going on, and we only put two tires on because we don't want to lose a lap. But we didn't know the yellow was coming out. So we ended up coming back to pit and put four tires on and started last and just reset the day.
Unfortunately for Kurt, it wasn't self-doubt that was leading him to feel a vibration in the car. Indeed, it was a loose wheel. Former NASCAR president Mike Helton was in the tower looking down at the events as they unfolded.
That was a perfect storm in his favor, where the tire came off, which was the end of pit road. He was already on pit road before the caution came out, knowing that he had a right front that was coming up or coming off, and pitted, got it fixed, didn't do any damage underneath, went back out. But I remember clearly that when I looked down and saw, and I said, well, that takes him out. And then a lap later, when we went back to green and he was obviously still up to speed, I realized, well, he just had the best day of his life.
Winston Kelly's vantage point was on pit road as Bush's tire fell off.
So I'm looking down pit road, and until I saw a replay, I didn't realize how close it was because, you know, it's a long pit road. I'm all the way down toward turn number one. That happens all the way in turn number four, and you see him dart in. And at first, you don't realize the tire's off. You know, he's coming out, and then the car is listing to the right front, and then you start seeing his tire roll down pit road. And we never had a caution. You know, if you go back and look, and I went back to see exactly what happened on the report, it's like, I can't believe we didn't have a caution. So the tire must have rolled up against the wall or maybe all the way down to turn number one and out of the way. Because when there is not a caution for the 97 car in that part of the race. But going back to what happened, you know, and you see him limping down pit road, and then, but when you watch the replay, I mean, it was inches, and his day is done. I mean, he T-bones that wall, or if it happened, 20 feet later, because you would have been in turn three and four, I believe, that, you know, 20 feet later, then he can't make the turn, so he's, you know, stuck or limping all the way around.
You can listen to all 10 episodes of NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up, we'll give you an update on the NASCAR Xfinity Series Dash for Cash as the series prepares to race at the Monster Mile.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. This weekend at the Monster Mile, the fourth and final installment of the NASCAR Xfinity Series Dash for Cash will take place. Our Susie Armstrong is here to take us through the first three races of the Dash for Cash and set the stage for Saturday's finale.
This weekend at Dover Motor Speedway, the NASCAR Xfinity Series Dash for Cash will come to a conclusion for the 16th time. Each week during the Dash for Cash incentive program, the four highest finishing drivers from the previous race have the opportunity to win $100,000 in the following event. To qualify, the drivers must be declared to collect Xfinity Series points. So let's recap the 2024 Dash for Cash, starting with the qualifying race at Richmond.
Free racetrack in front of him as he exits turn number four. Chan
Chandler Smith sees the checkered flag, and Chandler Smith wins the Toyota Care 250 at the Richmond Raceway. Chandler Smith and his team play the strategy card perfectly. Eric Almirola will come across the stripe and finish second. Taylor Gray will be third. Corey Heim will be fourth. And Jesse Love rounds out the top five.
Chandler Smith's win automatically qualified him for the Dash for Cash the following week, joined by Eric Almirola, Jesse Love, and Parker Kligerman. In the next clash at Martinsville Speedway, a longtime NASCAR veteran would claim the $100,000 prize in an impressive fashion.
As he comes off turn number four, he will see the caution flag and he will see the checkered flag. And Eric Almirola, for the fifth time in his career, is going to victory lane. He claims $100,000 courtesy of Xfinity, and he will grab the grandfather clock.
It's really awesome to come and play. I mean, that's really what I get to do. I get to play, and not a lot of people get to do that and finish their career like that. So just really, really humbled, really thankful for Coach and everybody at Joe Gibbs Racing. Our Toyotas are really fast. Any one of our cars can win on any given weekend. And I'm just really thankful for the He Gets Us ministry and all those people to give me this opportunity to semi-retire and still get to come out and race and win.
Eric's part-time role with Joe Gibbs Racing led to a big cash payout for the NASCAR veteran. The contingent reset the next week without the previous winner, as Almirola wasn't entered to compete at Texas Motor Speedway. The four drivers that would battle for the second leg of the four-race bonus at Texas Motor Speedway would be Sam Mayer, Chandler Smith, Justin Allgaier, and Sheldon Creed. In an absolute thriller, Mayer would edge out Ryan Sieg on the last lap by 0.0002 seconds at the wave of the checkers to claim the $100,000 prize for the second time in his career.
That's unreal. I mean, I was like a second and a half back probably at one point. So to make up that much time in that little amount of time is certainly unreal. It shows how good our Carolina Carport Chevrolet was today. We definitely took a lot of swings at it to get it better, but obviously we led the most important lap there at the end, and we didn't dominate by any means, but we certainly worked our tails off to get there at that point. Yeah, to win it like that I was on the short end of that stick a couple times, so to come out on top is really cool.
It was a victorious day for Sam Mayer, but heartbreaking for veteran Ryan Sieg, who was attempting to collect his first series win in his 342nd start. Sieg would get a shot at the cash the next week at Talladega, where in wild fashion, Sieg would compete against Mayer, Justin Allgaier, and Cole Custer, who all had issues on the Super Speedway. The Egg Pro 300 would provide us with another unpredictable finish, setting the lineup for the fourth and final race in the Dash for Cash.
Off turn number four, they got to get through the tri-oval outside lane. It's Brennan Poole. Jesse Love tries to block. They come to the inside. Three wide. Now four wide. They're crashing. Joey Gase gets turned. Checkered flag is in the air, and Jesse Love gets his first career NASCAR Xfinity Series win. Jesse Love wins the Ag Pro 300 at Talladega Super Speedway. Riley Herbst will be second. Anthony Alfredo finishes third. Leland Honeyman is fourth, and Brennan Poole is fifth.
In a wild series of events, Sieg, Allgaier, Mayer, and Custer would all finish outside the top 15. Trouble notwithstanding, Sieg claimed the $100,000 with a 17th place finish.
It's huge for our small team, and sponsorship's hard to come by, and this just makes everything that much easier. So hopefully I get some of it, but it was a rough one. I thought I threw it away myself, and we were lucky enough to get the caution at the end and come back and beat the 16. So it all worked out. Pretty extraordinary for our small team.
The bonus will go a long way for Sieg and his family-owned team, comprised of just 14 employees, including Sieg and younger brother and teammate Kyle. And the good news continues for the wily competitor. Since he claimed the Talladega bonus, Sieg will have the opportunity to win it again this weekend at Dover for the final leg of the Dash for Cash, facing off with Jesse Love, Riley Herbst, and Anthony Alfredo.
That Dash for Cash update was brought to you by Whelan Engineering. Whelan Engineering is proud to be an official partner of NASCAR and serves as the official warning lights of NASCAR. Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, has been manufacturing in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay. Coming up, we'll flashback to the 1979 CRC Chemicals 500 at Dover.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
We're about to head for the exits here on NASCAR Live, but before we pack up and do so, let's dial up the MRN time machine. Let's set it back to 1979, and we're flashing back to a triumphant day for Richard Petty at Dover.
Allison tried the bottom again, but could not get into the turn ahead of Richard Petty. He pushes him through turn number two. They come up off the banking into the straightaway. Petty holds the lead by a car length. Allison has tried him on every side of the racetrack.
Richard Petty with just 8 miles to go when they come out of turn number four and cross the start-finish line. Here he comes, the STP Chevrolet. Donnie Allison is there, one half car length back. He's tried him on the inside and both ends of the speedway. Nothing doing with Richard Petty as he holds him off again over in turn two.
Donnie again looks a little bit higher in the groove up out of turn two. Petty was right down to the apron. They come down the backstretch, single file, half a car length separation. Donnie looks to the low side and Petty comes right down to shut him off.
Could be the determining factor. Traffic directly in front of your first and second place runners. First car to be lapped will be Baxter Price. Richard Petty has lengthened his advantage now to three car lengths as they go into turn one.
Allison, no chances taking in the traffic. They move by Baxter Price. Allison loses perhaps a scant fraction of a second again going by Price. Out of turn number two, into the backstretch. Petty by a car length and a half as they move up on Frank Warren and Nestor Pelas' automobile.
Those two cars, the lap cars, are going side by side directly in front of your lead team of Richard Petty and Donnie Allison. Pelly's down low. Frank Warren on the high side. This will tighten things up. Now Warren dips to the inside and blowing by is Richard Petty and Donnie Allison. Two more lap cars have gone by the boards. It's Richard Petty and Donnie Allison battling it out of two.
Still two car lengths separate the leaders as Allison taking a little bit higher line now than Petty, trying to regain some lost ground. There's still about 10 car lengths back of Lenny Pond's automobile next to be lapped as Allison is about half a groove higher on the racetrack.
Out of the number four corner, Richard Petty, as you pointed out, Jackie Root, cannot afford to make a mistake. If he boxes himself in, runs in behind one of the lapped automobiles, Donnie Allison will be long gone. They hit the north end of the speedway in turns one and two. It's still Petty, one car length ahead of Donnie Allison.
Down to one car length. A little bit of tire smoke from Allison's car as he comes pounding off the second turn, leaving nothing to chance now. He's throwing caution to the wind, and they remain one car length apart.
4 miles to go when they cross the stripe this time, and Chip Warren begins to really work that passing flag to tell the lapped automobiles move over and give them room to race, and they're doing just that. They're back in turn one. Donnie Allison loses a car length. He's about two car lengths back of Richard Petty.
Petty is staying with that left front wheel right down on the safety apron as he comes through the turn. That's the shortest and the fastest way around the track when you're handling. Down the backstretch into turn number three. Again, they put it right to the bottom.
Hurtling across the pavement like a pair of heat-seeking missiles, your 1-2 combination run out of turn four. Richard Petty looks in his rearview mirror and sees the Hawaiian Tropic Chevrolet of Allison. Now, which way do you go? Do you throw a dummy to the inside to get around Petty, or do you go to the high side? This time, in the north end of the speedway, it's single file.
Coming up out of turn number two, back up to the concrete wall in the backstretch. Allison has fainted to the outside, but he's tried his move on the inside the last two times around. They're still single file at turn three.
799 races will be completed in Richard Petty's career this afternoon, and he is out front in the CRC Chemicals 500. There are 2 miles to go in this event. Petty goes in to turn one on the high side. Looking to the inside is Donnie Allison.
They're lapping Cecil Gordon, and Allison comes right up on the back bumper of the STP Chevrolet. A little bit of a close call. It gives Allison a bit more room, and he is right on Petty's tail going into turn three.
Jumping into that number three corner, Allison's going to have to make his move. There's traffic dead ahead. Richard Petty, half a car length over Donnie Allison. Here they come out of that fourth corner and across the line. White flag for Richard Petty as they flash down into the number one corner. Allison is still a half a car length back.
They move up on James Hilton's automobile. And again, Allison comes right onto the rear bumper of Petty's car. Allison hungry. He's never won at this racetrack. In the backstretch, single file past Hilton. There will be more traffic before they hit the line. They go into turn three for the final time.
Richard Petty slowed up a little bit in the number one quarter. Here's Allison going to make his move on the outside. There's a lap car directly ahead. Donnie's on the outside. He's up there. Half a car length back as they come to the line. It will be Richard Petty by half a car length.
You can listen to that race in its entirety by subscribing to MRN Classics wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd like to thank Martin Truex Jr. and Ryan Truex for joining us on the show this week. I'm Mike Bagley. For the rest of the MRN crew, hope you enjoy the Dover Racing Weekend. Don't forget, we have another installment of NASCAR Live Wide Open on Thursday. And of course, we are back with you 1 week from tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern with another edition of NASCAR Live. Until then, so long, everybody.
NASCAR Live is a production of the Motor Racing Network with studios in Concord, North Carolina, and was brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Today's broadcast was produced by Trey Downing, Pat Jaggers, and Julian Council. The executive producer for MRN is Ryan Horn. Remember to visit MRN.com for all of the latest news and information. NASCAR Live is produced under an exclusive license with NASCAR. Any use of the accounts and descriptions contained in this broadcast must be with the express written permission of NASCAR and the Motor Racing Network.